We have a lot to do to finish this maimer, so we're going to have to skip a little bit in order to be able to finish. We were learning last week how there's a serious concern on the part of many of the tzaddikim of the generations, Bali Musar in particular, that many of our expressions of aspiring to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu could very well be filled with all kinds of demyonis, delusions, which could be very true. And we often imagine ourselves to be in a certain place where we might not be. The tachlis of the Bali Musa, of course, was not to discourage us. It was to help us make an honest cheshbon nefesh, to be real with ourselves, to evaluate where we're holding in our avodas Hashem, and to progress honestly in our journey towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Unfortunately, and particularly because of the weakness of our generation, this insistence on absolute truth and the insistence upon one being completely, completely, brutally honest with oneself has often led to a terrible mistake. And the terrible mistake is that one no longer sees himself as being essentially godly, essentially holy. What many of us have picked up on over the years in classes and in drushes and shmuzim and so on, what most of us have picked up on is our faults, our terrible limitations, the chesroinus and midas and kedusha and sneas, v'chul v'chul. And somewhere along the way, we stop believing in the etzem haneshama, or we never heard much about that to begin with. And we've therefore been educated to be honest about our chesroinus, which are real, but we were never educated to be honest about our greatness, about the Kedushas Yisrael. Because of that, most of the strategy in Tikkun HaMidos and Avodah has been demoted to trying to use our seichel, advice by very wise people, how to overcome this problem, how to overcome this bad midah, how to fight with this urge, with this desire, and so on, instead of ever receiving the wings to soar above all of that conflict and to arrive in a place that's called Nishmas Yisrael. Nishmas Yisrael. Because in that world of Nishmas Yisrael, one doesn't have to struggle. There doesn't have to be a man-to-man combat with every negative midah, with every little ugly part of our lives. But rather a person can come to that place where he's an Ish Neshama, and that we can live as Anshei Neshama, as people of the Neshama, which is a different life. It's a different way of seeing things. It's a different world. It's living in this world. It's eating and sleeping and having families, but it's a different cook. It's a different way of seeing oneself and seeing life. So we don't have time to go into every single thing. So he speaks about what Shabbos can look like when a person is an Ish Neshama. It's a different Shabbos. Shabbos is not a matter of just having your favorite foods. That's fine. There's a mitzvah of Shabbos. It's not just a matter of enjoying company or rest. A Shabbos-tika world of Anshei Neshama is different. So on the bottom of page 12, the last paragraph, which says, Va'af Shebevada, you have it? Va'af Shebevada, Tzarech Adam Lassos Tamil Cheshbon HaNefesh. Of course. Everybody agrees that we have to be honest, and we have to make a cheshbon nefesh. We have to make an accounting of our lives. We can't imagine that everything is perfect and everything is wonderful. Liros heichan hu oiches ba'olam. A person has to be honest about what he's actually doing and what his life consists of. Mikomokam leisman depolig v'dover poshut u'shitzarach l'roim yemisatzmai. On the other hand, everybody agrees. All schools within Yiddishkeit agree that the tachlis is to make ourselves better. L'roi me misatzmo. To make ourselves people who are greater. Well, l'chapes is alus of his roimus. And to search for ways to become greater people, more inspired people. Viladas, Shiesh Lo Shaychus in Devar Megavayim. Therefore, a Jew has to know that no matter what he's done in his life, and he has to be honest about those things, he has a strong, unbelievable Shaychus to Devar Megavayim, to holy things, to very exalted things. And therefore he could reach, it's within his reach, no matter what he's done, it's within his reach to come to these Dvarim Gevom, to these higher things. To reach Godless HaNefesh, Godless HaMadregis, and that every single one of us can become a Baal Madrega, a person of spiritual, great spiritual stature and accomplishment. Veins Estam, next page, 13. So you might think that this is the kind of speech that you give to people to encourage them because they're losing hope. So this is stam, like a nice little speech to make people feel better about themselves. That's terribly, terribly wrong. It's not true. It's not stam. It's not stam. A little pep talk. It's true. Elokiachen kein huamis. The emes is. That's what a Jew is. The emes is that inside each and every one of us, there's a chelik elokim imal, there's a neshama. That's the absolute truth. The fact that we don't know anything about the neshama, or we might not have ever tapped into that, that doesn't mean it's not there. So it's not just, let's try to use some positive reinforcement and compliment this person and say, well, you have no idea how holy you are. But really, he's not. So, If you're going to teach in a way where everything is negative and putting down and showing chesroinus, and then the last 30 seconds of the shmuzes and Baruch Hashem hu yidin, and therefore we're all very, very holy, good Shabbos. So it doesn't reach the person. They don't feel that it's honest. They don't feel that it's true. They were never told what holiness is, nor were they ever introduced to the neshama. Aval tzarech lahamin b'zeh, therefore one needs to learn this and to believe that this is true. And to be involved with what? With things of a great spiritual nature, on a higher madrega. This was always a very important part of avoda in the way of chassidus. He goes to a little bit now, that column, the inyan kedushas hazmanim, of how to live yom tovim. Again, we're trying to move towards the end of the Maimer, just on the next column, the same page, where it says, Mailas, same page, page 13, Mailas Chochmas Pnimiyas HaTorah, where it says, Misha Misragel. Misha Misragel. So, Misha Misragel Atzmo Lechias Baifin Aleh, a person who accustoms himself to living in this way, Baifin Aleh, in a higher way. That person, regardless, and I want to emphasize here, regardless if it's a man or if it's a woman, that person has more of a connection to learning Pnimiyas HaTorah, the inner light of Torah. We're not talking here about Kabbalah, we're not Mekubalim, but Pnimiyas HaTorah, each person on his or her own level, nowadays, Baruch Hashem, whether your language is Hebrew, English, Yiddish, French, Russian, one can learn Pnimiyas HaTorah, to learn Chassidus, to learn the inner light of Torah. And this person who is looking for this, to become an Ish Neshama, to become a person of Neshama, is naturally drawn to Pnimiyas HaTorah, to the inner light of Torah. L'ach hazman ma, shemar gil atzma v'limud Pnimiyas HaTorah, yochel es'amik v'yoyse v'yoyse. And as one continues and learns, one becomes more comfortable with the language and the concepts of Pnimiyas HaTorah. Again, now we have such unbelievable svarim to help that they didn't have by our parents and grandparents, they didn't have, and now we have. Everybody can learn Pnimiyas HaTorah on his or her own level these days. There are wonderful svarim. I'll be happy afterwards to mention some, to give you some names. And particularly before davening, it's a wonderful thing to take a little bit of time and to learn Pnimiyas HaTorah. Because Pnimiyas HaTorah is what? These are limudei chassidus amukim, deep teachings, hamiirim es haneshama, that illuminate the soul, that open us up to the neshama, that bring us into that place of the neshama. whatever level that person's on to learn Pnimiyus HaTorah. Isa b'Zohar HaKadosh. Says in the Zohar HaKadosh, Shabahai Chibura Yafka Megalusa B'Rachmei. Shabahai Chibura, it says in the Zohar HaKadosh that with the Zohar HaKadosh, with this Sefer, with the Zohar HaKadosh, Yafka Megalusa B'Rachmei, we're going to be able to leave Golus B'Rachmei, with Rachmim, with compassion, with love, by learning, by connecting ourselves to the Zohar HaKadosh. Now, again, we're not talking about people like ourselves opening up a Zohar. But we're talking about learning Pnimiyus HaTorah, which is all explanations of the Zohar HaKadosh. All Pnimiyus HaTorah is explaining the Zohar HaKadosh in a language that we can relate to. So the Zohar says that this is the Sefer, the Zohar HaKadosh. Bahai Chibura Yafke Megalus B'Rachmei, that we need this Sefer. We need Pnimiyus HaTorah, the inner light of Torah, in order to leave Golus. Golus is because of our preoccupation with the guf. Geula is our way to enter into the world of the neshama. The world of the neshama is a world of redemption, of Mashiach. And that's why Hashem brought these neshamas into the world. At the end of time, the Ariya Kaddish and the Baal Shem Tov Kaddish, all these tzaddikim that came into the world to get us ready for Mashiach. Hainu she'ikar ha'etza la'amayit be'ikvis of the Mashiach. The best etza to be able to be strong during these days, these last days before Mashiach comes, to be able to withstand all of the horrible, unbelievable tests that we're going through now, on every level, with our Amuna and Kedusha and so on, and now, secular wisdom is so accessible to everybody, and it's become so sophisticated. And unfortunately, if we're not revealing the sophistication and the beauty of the inner light of Torah to ourselves and to the next generation, we're going to lose them. Sure, because nowadays it's not like our grandparents that you had to be a renegade and go off to Berlin to university or to go to Budapest or someplace. Now the most complex and sophisticated ideas, secular ideas, concepts, notions, are in everybody's faces, and yet when it comes to Torah, they're telling them to still stick to the basic, simple, superficial way of learning, and not to enter into the inner light of Torah. So the problem is that even though the Torah has everything in it, but if we're not being exposed, and if the generation is not being exposed to the inner light of Torah, and they're being exposed randomly and excessively to the exciting world that's out there in secular wisdom, so the Torah is going to lose. We're going to lose our children. We're going to lose ourselves to shetchias, to superficiality, or to worse, God forbid. Therefore, particularly now, in order to be able to withstand these tests at the end of time, we must hold on to the Zohar HaKadosh and to Pnimiyus HaTorah. It's so easy now when it comes to chochmas chitzonius, when it comes to secular knowledge, when it comes to art, to music, to science, to literature, whatever it is. It's so easy. It's so available. And the point is not here you should or you shouldn't. That's not the issue whether you should avail yourself to these things or not. That's not what he's talking about. What he's saying is this is the reality. We're living in this metzias. Unless we upgrade and intensify our connection to the neshama by way of the neshama of Torah, which is the light of Torah, the inner light of Torah, then the generation is going to have the false impression that Torah cannot answer their deeper needs. The Torah is not speaking to the essence of who they are. So you'll have a kid that's listening to some music by some band that consists of deranged drug addicts, and he's closing his eyes and he says, this is the deepest thing I've ever heard in my life. And he's listening to some drug addict sing some song, and he thinks that's the deepest thing he ever heard in his life. And it might be that it is. It could very well be it's the deepest thing he ever heard in his life. And that's what's troubling. Because it could be that he didn't hear Shmuz from his Rebbe that spoke to him the way that song was speaking to him. It could very well be that all he heard from his Rebbe was Shmuz number 3,655 about if you have to steig, or else you're lost. And he listens to the song. The song's talking about feelings, about emotions, about love, about caring. He never heard that from his Rebbe. But he's hearing it inside of himself. He's growing up. He's not a baby anymore. And the outer layer of Torah does not speak about these things. It's the inner world of Torah that is addressing these matters of who you really are, what your neshama is about. He didn't get that in the Shia where he was told about an argument between two people over a shmata. He didn't get that. So he'll look for it elsewhere. And that's what they're doing. And to a large extent, the adults are clueless about what's going on. As long as the kid dresses right and he shuckles enough, everybody thinks everything is fine. Anybody that's Isaac and Chinuch, anybody that has any shaykhs to kids nowadays on a deeper level knows that the problem is much, much greater than what I'm saying over here. And it's not time for that. The only way that we could
fight against this is with the inner
light of Torah, with the neshama, with the soul of Torah. When you learn Pnimis Torah, you see how much there is in every pasuk of Torah. How beautiful the Torah is, how poetic, how magnificent Yiddishkeit is. But if we never saw how beautiful Yiddishkeit is, then they imagine that the song is more beautiful, or that the other thing is more beautiful.
He says, I spoke to a modern doctor recently from a person of Amalie, that he started to learn, this doctor, a little bit of Shloha Kaddish. He realizes that you can't understand a Pasuk of Chumash without learning Pnimiyus HaTorah, without tapping into the inner light of Torah. The truth is that if you don't learn Pnimiyus HaTorah, then you cannot truly understand what the Torah is talking about. You don't know what a mitzvah is. What's tefillin? What's Shabbos? What's Shabbos? We could ask each other that. We could ask our children that. We could ask people who are learning their whole lives Torah. What does it mean, Shabbos? So he's going to say, what's that? Lama Tesma. I didn't ask you what's forbidden on Shabbos. I didn't ask you for a pilpul and a machloikis to explain between the Rambam and Raivin what you could do on Shabbos and what you can't do on Shabbos. I'm asking you, what is this? What is Shabbos? Tell me, what is Shabbos? If he's going to answer after learning yeshiva for 20 years, he's going to say, well, it's a wonderful time to connect to Hashem, or to rest, and when you rest your body, therefore you can exercise your soul. You know, and if you push a little bit and ask a few more questions, you see where this is going. What's Shabbos? What does it mean, Shabbos? Same thing as I mentioned last week. What does it mean that you should be sneezed? Like, what does it mean, sneeze? Why does the Baruch Shem care if I dress like this or dress like that? What does it mean? What is it? These are questions that are not answered on the surface of things. One has to excavate and dig deep into Torah, and there it's shining beautifully. It's beautiful. Limud Pnimiyus Yemashmos Mitzis Adam. What's the meaning of life? What's the meaning of life? Again, these questions are not answered on the surface of learning of Torah. What's the meaning of life? What's the purpose of your existence? Again, if you would ask somebody, it could be the person who's learning for many, many years, what's the tachlis? So they'll spit back a certain formula that they heard and said, whatever it is, that the bechira, and if we wouldn't, the neshama sent down, this should be schav oidish. But come on, is that what gets you up for davening? Is that what makes you into a Jew? Could you please tell me what's the mitzvahs? What's the purpose of your mitzvahs in this world? What were you sent here for? What's the tachlis of what you're doing? How is your daily life synchronized with this purpose of your existence? Bems. Lima Pnimiyus HaTorah, the last paragraph on 13. Lima Pnimiyus HaTorah, b'chol dargah shehu, pesach oiros nisgavim v'na'alim. When you learn Pnimiyus HaTorah, whatever level you're learning it on, it opens a person up to all kinds of, all different oiros, very great lights, nisgavim v'na'alim. V'zeh lu mazeh, bora ha-bori kelolovim. Shekeneged ha-chochmiz, achitzoinis, umas, nisyanis ha-zman, shebeikvis in neshicha, noslon ha-kadosh baruch hu, is ha-chibur, Pnimiyus HaTorah. And we see that there's hashgacha pratis. But why is it that Davka now, at the end of time,
Dafka now at the end of time when we have the most unbelievable nisyonos, and when secular knowledge and culture, entertainment and so on is so easy to find, to reach. Why is it that Dafka now the light of the Zohar Kodesh is shining most brightly, and every day the Nusfam coming out, and Hashem's Baruch sent Neshams into the world now to be able to explain, to speak, to reach our Neshamas. And when you learn Pnimiyas HaTorah, you have a taste of how Hashem gave the Torah. We spoke about this, that Hashem gave the Torah panim al panim, face to face, whatever that means. It wasn't something that Hashem wrote the Torah on a paper airplane and he sent it down to the world. Hashem Yisbach gave us the Torah panim al panim, Pnimiyas. Panim al panim means Pnimiyas. He spoke to us. He looked at us. We connected to him on a level of neshama. It wasn't something, it wasn't a dry lecture. It wasn't some information. It wasn't a book of rules. It was panim al panim. Hashem Yisbach gave us the Torah. The next page 14. Pnimiyas HaTorah is the neshama of Torah, is the neshmasa deraisa. That's the soul of Torah. So in order to meet one's soul, one has to travel by way of Pnimiyas HaTorah, the inner light of Torah. Again, does that dafka have to be chasidus? If a person is more comfortable with learning other svarim hakadoshim that do that, that's built upon the yisoides of the Zohar Kodesh, the svarim of the Vilna Gaon, of the Ramchal, and so on, that's fine. But the clearest hashgacha pratis at the end of time, that Hashem is giving us an opportunity to connect to the neshama through neshmasa deraisa, is in the Derech HaBaal Shem Tov. Haben, we'll skip a little bit. Haben Aliyah on page 14, the right side. Misha mechanech es atzma aliyas odam na'alim rumam yoyser. A person who's trying to teach himself, to raise himself, to become a greater person. V'hu bedargas mamleches kahana v'goy kodesh. And he cares about aspiring to this level that was revealed to us at Maimon HaSinai, that Hashem intended for us to be a nation that is holy, Mamlachas Kahanim, a nation of priests, of a Goy Kodesh, a holy nation. Ein Esloi Shum Inyonim Shal Shiflus Unamichus. This person stays far away from all things that are disgusting and low. Not because he's going to get caught, not because he's going to get punished, not because it's a din in Shulchan Aruch, and if it would be allowed, he would do that, not because of that. It's because, he says, he feels as a person who is striving to become part of a Mamleches Kahana V'Goy Kodesh, he looks at these things that are low as things that are disgusting. He doesn't feel a connection to them. He's not interested in them. They don't tempt him. They don't draw him. The Gam Hadibur Shelo, for instance, the way that a person speaks, how people speak. The Gam Hadibur Shelo, Hu Ba'ifa Na'ala B'Yoyser. Someone was just telling us last night that a friend of hers, who went to yeshiva her entire life, and she went to seminary last year, that she was in an argument with a friend of hers, and the friend let loose with four-letter words. She was in seminary, just finished her year of seminary, whatever it is, in Yerushalayim. She has the right outfit, everything looks good. She let loose with four-letter words. And even if you don't use four-letter words, there's a way to speak. That's a dehaibna, an elevated way to speak. How a Jew is supposed to speak. And there's a way to speak that's coarse, that's prus, that's not becoming for a person who's an ish neshama. If you're a person of the guf, you can see even the way the person, if you're in a restaurant, how somebody orders the food, how they talk to people who are not Jewish. How an ish neshama, an elevated person talks to every human being in a way that's respectful, that's kind, that's dignified. Not how you, to talk in such a way. We're not talking just about using vulgar language. There's a way that a Jew talks, that an elevated person talks, an ish neshama, an ish haguf. So let's say he doesn't use a four-letter word. But everything about his speech, everything about the way he talks is unbecoming. dibur. Gama dibur shlahu v'ayfen ala b'yayse. This, the way that a person speaks, and each neshama speaks in a different way. V'yesh lo dibur achel agamre. It's a whole different way of talking. Dibur hu dover choshu v'chiyun b'yayse. Dibur, of course, speech is such an important thing. It's what defines a human being as a medaber. V'nayir ad l'ma'oid. Mishu adam nala. First of all, he says a person who is a greater person, an adam nala, an ish neshama, to begin with, mimai b'diburo, speaks less. And this sounds odd, speaks less. There's too much talking going on. Not just in shul, stamazai. There's too much talking. There's a wonderful yid that was just told me on Sunday morning, he said to me, that he said he was telling me about how he's overcome the inyan of speaking in shul, which is unbelievable, and he said, because he has a tremendous netiyah to talk, he said to me, and this is what he said to me, he said that on a regular basis, I could sit and talk to people, to a friend for 6 hours, and he said this, I say absolutely nothing. Which is refreshing, because he's honest. He said, I'm talking, I look back on what I said over the past 6 hours, that I was schmoozing with this guy, I said nothing. And he said, and I'm unbelievably good at that. Like the person that I'm talking to, like he had a good time, and I'm entertaining, and I'm funny, and I'm witty, and I had stuff to say, but I said nothing. And I'm going like this my whole life. So far, he said, I've tried, at least in shul, not to do that, which is a harsh of a thing. But he said, I say nothing at all. I talk and talk, and I say nothing at all. So the first thing is, if a person's an ish nala, you begin to have a cheshbon, not just of the words that you're using, but how many words you're using. How many words? What's with the telephone? I'm not even going to talk about the texting. That's a whole different gather. I'm talking about on the telephone. What did you talk about your whole life? What are you talking about? How much are you saying? What is the need for all of this? Even that. So a person can say, why? I didn't say any Lashon Hara. An ish nala. Again, this doesn't make sense to a person who's completely embedded in the guf. If I didn't say anything that's also, why can't I talk as much as I like? That doesn't make sense to a person who's an ish guf. But an ish neshama understands that there's a world that's called the world of thinking, the world of feeling, the world of being. And not everything is spoken. Very important to use speech in a healthy way. There's nothing as precious as using words in order to make that connection with people that you love. There's no question it's very valuable. We're talking about extraneous, extra, a lot of extra words, a lot of extra speaking. He's not talking about becoming silent. If you would see how he speaks, I've had the schust to be with him, and to how he speaks, to the author here, Ramotel Zilber, how every word is measured. Every word is with a cheshbon. And you see that. And you see that. I could say, my wife is here. I said, but my father, Zalgazon Zayn, he says exactly what needed to be said. But there's nothing extra. He doesn't schmooze it up. He just says what needs to be said. More than that, he just doesn't say it. It's interesting to see Badal Macham and him and his brother were together. It was mostly the way that they looked at each other and that. A little bit they spoke. It wasn't. But now, he says, "Mamai b'dibur v'enem adaber habish lo tzarech." A person who is an ish neshama doesn't talk so much when it's not necessary. There's more of an allowance for women. Okay, my Lord. Put in a good word, right? The Gemara Chazal say that there are tishukam that the women have of speaking, and for women it's more important. And it touches more upon the neshama to communicate, especially if they're married to a person who's not necessarily the best communicator, and the children need that. We're talking about shaloi letzarech. Shaloi letzarech means really narishkeit, stam diburim, diburim, diburim with the telephone, diburim with the telephone, which is bechlal not a way that Hashem Yisbarach gave us really beemes panim upon him. He wants to speak to people in a real way, not the telephone. People sit and their whole lives, they're going to answer 120 thousands and thousands of hours. Lahagla adam asich, Hashem's Gersbach is going to play back some tapes of what were these conversations, what did you accomplish, what was all the diburim on the telephone, what do you have to talk about? And then in person, you have someone that could say something in 2 minutes, you know, you have those people that it could have been said in 2 minutes, and you're sitting there for half hour, and it was already, the inyan was finished at the very beginning, and you're still weiter and weiter and weiter, noch amal, to squeeze it out. And besides the person that's listening, if the person that's listening is a little bit of a normal person, can go out of their kalim. But the haval and the narishkeit and the waste of time and being an ish pnimi tries to spend as much time inside of his head, inside of his heart, not everything outside. And not the second you think of something, you have to talk about it. Not everything that you think, not everything that's on your mind has to be spoken either. K'mayim ha-chazal, siyag l'chach m'shtika. The defense of wisdom, of course, is silence. V'gam k'shemadaber, yedeh ma'shemadaber. A person who's an ish neshama doesn't say all the time, did I say that? He knows what he said. He doesn't say, is that what I said? I don't recall saying that. He's conscious of what he's saying, because his words are thought out. When he says something, he thinks about what he's saying. Umadabra im cheshbon. There's a cheshbon with what he's saying. Of course, we could all work on this a little bit at a time, to exercise a little bit. It's very hard to change, and now we're talking about changing all of a sudden. But he's describing here, what does it mean to be an ish neshama? What's the life of an ish neshama? And the same with it, you do something, you do it with a cheshbon. But particularly when it comes to speaking, it's so easy for words to escape, to go out. It's the teva of a person that words just like run out of the mouth. They just keep on going. A person doesn't have a cheshbon to keep track of what he's saying. Just go out. And then you have with the texting and you have with the emailing these machlis that are very, very, very serious, cause very serious damage to the whole Tzelem Elokim. I'm not going to go into it, but every person who's seichel understands that there's something very, very scary that's going on with all of these ways of communication and the kind of words that are used, and even the way that English itself and language is being distorted and misused. B'chul, on so many levels. V'adibur tzarech cheshbon ha-nefesh gadol. Person has to make a cheshbon ha-nefesh speaking. U'b'yoysi yechoyim l'hakir s'adam l'fi diburo. You can really tell who a person is by the way the person speaks and what the person says and how much the person talks. Eichu medabe v'eichu mezvate, how a person speaks, the gestures, the expressions of how a person talks. V'eichu ha-archoves peshalo. U'kshem mischanech ha-adam sh'yiyah kol dibur b'oifen ha'ala, when a person trains himself that he should speak in a way that's be'ofen na'ala, in a more of an exalted way, in an elevated way. Hayu ben adam achel legamre. It's a different human being. It's a different picture of a person. Oy nekudu gedoyle v'chashuva ha'sheyeches l'misha chofetz l'yis ish na'ala. Another important point for the person who's looking for this kind of a life. Hu hatznei aleches em elokecha. What does it mean, hatznei aleches? To walk humbly. To walk in a way at tznius with Hashem. Lichyes bepnimius. That's what I was talking about before. Lichyes bepnimius. You see, this is really the inyan of tznius. It's not just a question of how you dress. Dressing is a certain part of tznius. It's a part of tznius. But the pnimius of what tznius is lichyes bepnimius. To live and to have a rich inner life. Lichyes bepnimius. To live a life of pnimius. Lailias ish chitzayin, not to be a person that has to show everything on the outside. Shalei b'chal darbet tzarech liyas l'shaychis amanoshim acherim. You don't have to always have a shaychis with everything that you in your life. You don't have to have a shaychis that other people should know about it, other people should see it. Lailai kol darbet shayis et tzirich amanoshim adas. Not everything that you do in your life, everybody has to know about. They have this thing now, I forgot, it's a funny word for that they let each other know about each other's lives on the computer. Chatting? No, there's not funny. Facebook, but it's another thing that they do. Twitter. So somebody was telling me that there are people that they do this with the Facebook or the Twittering. I don't know the chilik between Facebook and Twitter. But with the Twittering, I don't know if there's a verb, Twittering, but they Twitter, I don't know. So on this thing, Twittering, that you have people that they say, I changed Yankee's diaper. Mm-hmm. And now Yankee, I'm taking Yankee to the park. And Yankee has fluid coming out of his nose. And Yankee says, get the yingle. And I'm not exaggerating. People tell me what they have. They have a thing with hundreds of people their friends, their circle of friends, a yedizach, with that thought, every single thing that he's doing or she's doing in her life, and women have much stronger nitiyah to this, although men are not exempt, every single thing that this person is doing is like, is the mimbefarsim, that everybody else has to know. Or if you're upset with your mother, you're upset with the shviger, everything in your life, the welt, it's a welt inyan. People have to know about what you're thinking, what you're feeling, from important inyanim, which should be private, which should be just something personal, if one good friend, maybe, to something which is totally insane, total nonsense, that you should be sharing these things of your life with other people. Who's crazier, you for sending it out, or other people that would even look at such a thing, that even would read such a thing? And yet this is a very common thing. The chevra now in school, the high school, and with this business with Facebook, with Twittering, I'm not critiquing the entire inyan. I don't know how people use it in a good way. I never, Baruch Hashem, pressed the keyboard on the computer in my life. I don't know anything about it, but I understand that people are now using the computer as a way to share with an entire olam, some of whom you might not have even met, I don't know, with an entire olam, things that should be kept, A, either personal between you and one or two other people, or, most likely, no one in the world should have heard what Yankee did in his diaper. It should be something you keep in your head and your hands, and you take care of it and fire it, not that anybody has to know what you're doing with your Yankee at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's mamish, a pacha. What's the chiyus of a Jew? The chiyus of a Jew has to be with the koiches that he has inside of himself, and a fire that's inside of himself of who he is and what he thinks about, and an inner life of thinking of avodah, of tefillah, of Torah, of thinking about his family, all of those good thoughts. And if you have things you have to take care of, so you think about it and you take care of it. What do you have to write to this one? You have to email to that one. You have to Twitter to here and to Facebook to there. What is that? I'm not going to the psychology of it, which is something which is very frightening. The psychology of this need. And the fact that Yidden who Hashem mitzvahs are as prone to this as other people, and they're walking around day and night with all of this, it's not a matter of halacha. It's the whole tzur of a human being. It's a tzur of a human being, an ish pnimi. An ish pnimi is not living a life of communicating. He communicates when it's necessary and to make a point. He doesn't stam. It's not stam. Verte. Words out in cyberspace. Words. More words. More words. To live a life like that. You have a mother and a daughter every 20 minutes. Hi, ma'am. Yeah, what's doing, sweetie pie? And the mother becomes herself a child. And she also is with the texting back and forth. Forgive me. I'm sure I'm not talking to any of you about this. I'm just saying the inyan that is going on, that the mother herself feels, because she's so insecure about the relationship, that she feels that she can't tell her daughter, do I have to text something to you every half hour? What are you doing? You put the cake into the oven, you took the cake out of the oven. Unless you don't know whether the cake goes into the oven, then you should ask me. But if you know the cake goes into the oven, I don't have to hear that you put the cake into the oven. What are you standing back and forth? So the Teretz says, we love each other so much. No, that's not. That's dysfunctional. That's not love. That's called dysfunctional. It's not a matter of love. Fakir, people with ahavas and ahava pnimis, they don't have to hang up the phone every time saying, I love you, baby. I love you the best. When there's pnimis, you don't have to talk that way. Like every single thing. And every single text, they also the way they text with all these diburim. Diburim that should be used for choshev, the things that are thrown around on the internet and thrown around on the texting, like they don't mean anything anymore. So what does it mean to love? Yeah, this one loves a dog, this one loves his friend, this one loves his wife. This man gunsh. Doesn't mean anything anymore. What are diburim? What are words? Doesn't mean anything anymore. And the scariest thing is that the adults themselves are becoming children. And they themselves are giving into this thing. They're also starting with this. Which I see Kaseda that is starting with all of these. There's no end in sight. But that Sikhim Hilchas is Chazik. Ve'ein mechapsim lahagish toy b'mesh anoshim yoidim maloysev. An ish pneem and ish neshama doesn't try to get a high, doesn't try to feel good by other people knowing things about him. Knowing like choshava things about him or what he did, or that people should think highly about him, or that he accomplished this, or he did that, and other people have to know about it. And he has to send out a notice that he got his this, and he got his degree, or she graduated, whatever it is. All of these things are all chitzaynus. Rather, Abba, Mishesh la hergish dveikis abori the hergish with pnimis ubedvar nalim mafriel like yishanoshim yodim is. Other Abba, an ish pnimi doesn't want other people to know whatever all the things that are going on in his life. I'm not talking about the bad things God forbid in his life, and the good things. He doesn't want it. It should be other people's inyan, that they should be talking about me, or they should know everything that's going on in my life. Because then everything about his life becomes chitzanistic. It all becomes shallow and superficial. It all becomes shallow and superficial. You know, even changing a diaper, it's a nice thing. I mean, it's not pleasant, but you love your child and you're changing a diaper. You're helping your child feel good. That also is a little bit of a pnimius. I understand it's not pleasant, but there's a pnimius in loving your child or loving your grandchild and changing a diaper. But the second it goes out onto the internet, the second it goes out onto the text, then it's not a miskai. Do you understand? Does this make sense? What is it then? There could be a little bit of a pnimius. Even in such a thing, the Baruch Shalom told us, b'chol drachecha, that he wants us to serve him every moment of our lives. So changing a diaper is a mitzvah. V'ahav l'reacha kamoicha, you love your child, and therefore you want to make your child comfortable. It's also pnimius. So someone has to know about how you change the diaper. Then what does it make everything in your life into chitzonius? Everything in life becomes chitzonius. Akoponim, Meninu kan kamen nekuda sheyesh lam shayches im roimus es halas odom. We just used a few examples of how to recognize an ish nesham, an ish nala. Vehem hatznei aleches. This is the inyan of hatznei aleches. Clothing is the end of all of this. Tznius and how one dresses, of course, is part of this. Not because it says this or it says that. Not because the principal is going to catch you walking down the stairs and your skirt's like this, or when you're away from the city, then your yeshiva doesn't care, doesn't know if you're wearing a hat by davening, all these cheshbainis of how to dress, it's crazy stuff. An ish neshama is an elevated person. He's an ish pnimi. And an ish pnimi has a way of dressing, has a way of carrying himself, of walking, of carrying herself. But it's more than that. I warned you last week that we're going to have to go a little bit extra this time. So if anybody has to go, of course, I'm saying maybe another 15, 20 minutes, but if anybody should go, don't hesitate to leave. Oy nekuda, mugashes the Torah's chassidus ba'ifin chazak. Another thing that we see that's very much emphasized in chassidus, v'igam kein nekuda sheyaches lamatan Torah, ulegilu shapanim upanim, and it's also very much connected to the whole inyan of Matan Torah, of Maimon Har Sinai, of Panav Panim, of how Hashem Yisbarach gave us the Torah, or Yom Chasan also. Remember, the day of giving the Torah is called Yom Chasan also, the day of the marriage, of the wedding, between us and Hashem. Sheyehudi tzarech ladas, shebechol hamatzavim, shehu nimsa, hoylech aboirei kol oylamim itai. A Jew must know that no matter where you're going in life, no matter what you're doing in life, no matter what your massive is, no matter what's happening to you, every step of your life, you're going together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'chol matzav shenim saboy, osa loy la'avad es atzmul hisyayish. Therefore, no matter what terrible matzav you're in, no matter what, God forbid, you terrible thing you're doing, you've done, you can never ever to be misyayish, because Hashem Yisbarach is with you in that every single second He's with you. V'afilu kishe yeish loy yirida beruchnias, otzar begashnias v'achamar l'tzlan. And even if a person has chalila, a yirida in Ruchnias, or he has some tsar in Gashmias, Yeda v'yamen, the ikr of all chassidus is Yeda v'yamen of all Yiddishkeit, is Yeda v'yamen Kadosh Baruch, but in chassidus is emphasized much more, because only the neshama can feel this. Only the neshama can feel this, because sometimes you feel so disgusting on the guf, and your outside, your superficial, external life feels disgusting, and you feel lost, and you feel miserable. So where are you supposed to meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Only in that place that's the Neshama. Because in that place, Hashem Yisbarach is there all the time. Midas HaBitachon. The Midah of trusting in Hashem, Bitachon. He Midah Elokis, is a godly Midah. Shecholim Leftayach V'lismach L'Harbayin Shalom. That you could trust in Hashem. You could rely upon Him. V'ikar Shal Midah Zu, Hu L'Hischanein El HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ikar of this Midah Bitachon is to live one's life always calling out to Hashem, knowing that everything is up to Hashem, speaking to Hashem, asking Him for help, turning to Him when you need something. Ulakavais, and to hope, Shiazreyu b'chazdei ha'gorl, that with His great love for you, He's going to help you. And if He's not helping you in this way, He's helping you in some way that you don't understand, but to turn to Hashem. Rebemis, I evshel lefarish ba'ilam hazeh, as midas habitachin karoi. The emes says, he says, one cannot really explain this midas habitachin completely in this world. Because he could ask a person to be talking, ask him, he says, I trust in Hashem. He says, how do you know you could trust in Hashem? From where do you know that you should trust in him? Maybe you're not worthy of having to. And he can't answer you. Why? Because the inyan of the neshama and his relationship with Hashem is very personal. It's inside of him. Ani adati ki gadol Hashem, Dovid HaMelech says, I know that Hashem is great. Ani adati, like Rabbi Nachman says in the first thing in Sichas Aran, I know my relationship with Hashem is such, I can't explain it to you. I know that I could trust him. I know that he loves me. I can't explain it to you, nor do I need to explain it to you. That's my relationship that I have with him. So therefore, bitochen cannot really be explained what it is. Omnam bitochen hu mida elokis. When a person works hard at having a relationship with Hashem, then Hashem tells that person, deep in that person's feelings, he knows that what? In his heart, he feels that Hashem's taking care of him, that it's going to be good. You can't force that. If you don't have that relationship with Hashem, and suddenly, God forbid, you're going through a difficulty, it's very, very hard. It's very hard to all of a sudden become a person with bitachon. Now, for the first time in your life, you really need bitachon. When other people had services, said to them, it'll be good, don't worry. Now, you need to have bitachon. It's very hard to have a crash course in bitachon. They don't have, to my knowledge, they didn't make a book yet, bitachon for idiots. They have psychology for idiots, they have English for idiots. They don't have yet bitachon for idiots. It's not vital for one's entire life, bitachon. To have a relationship with Hashem. Who are you trusting? What are you trusting? If you don't have a shaykh with Hashem, what are you trusting him? Trusting in who? Who is he? What is he? What's the shaykh you have with him? That's what bitachon is. Mishiyeshlo midas bitachon haryonimsa kaseider harbanishlam. A person who lives with the midah bitachon, it's not just all of a sudden he has a problem, bitachon. No, he lives every moment of his life. He lives with Hashem. During every day, he speaks to Hashem, he talks to Hashem. He has this shaykhus to Hashem, he has a keshe with Hashem. L'kechzer harbanishlam shi'ita b'cholamat slam shenim. So mele, wherever he walks in life, wherever he goes, he has Hashem with him. But he's lived like that. It's not all of a sudden. Can't all of a sudden take him in. That's how he lives. The next page. I don't know what it is. 15? Well, zet sarach kifus adas v'chizik gadol ma'oy. And for this, a person has to have tremendous chizik and has to be very strong to think every day about HaKadosh Baruch Hu during the day, to stop and to remember that Hashem Baruch Hu is with me. Shavis Hashem Nagdi Samet. That's how I live. It's not only on Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. This is how I live. Or when God forbid, is it sarach? V'kamayim ha'kosov yishazik dovid v'Hashem alokav. Chizik. That whenever David Melech was going through a difficulty, and he had plenty of difficulties, David Melech, he had plenty of tzaras, he was mischazik b'Hashem. He was mischazik b'Hashem. He wasn't mischazik in anything else. He was mischazik b'Hashem. That's what gave him chizik, his relationship with Hashem. He knew that Hashem is not going to let him fall. Hashem is going to pick him up. Hashem is going to take care of him. When a person has nisyonis and ruchnis, God forbid, he's even done some things that he shouldn't have done in Ruchnius. Tzarech l'dash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu eino oizev af pam es b'nei Yisrael. The ik is to know that Hashem never ever abandons b'nei Yisrael, never leaves a Jew, never walks away from a Jew. He's always with us. Ki lo yitoish Hashem es amoy ba'avur shmai ha'gadol, v'chein roim b'tanach keseide she'dovid ha'melech afilo nichshol, that David ha'melech, even on his level, he was nichshel on his madrig in things that were very uncharacteristic for him. And David HaMelech was nichshel, but yischazik always, but yischazik David b'Hashem. He never made believe that God ran away from him. He never made believe that he didn't have a shaykh to Hashem. He never thought that he was too disgusting and too low that Hashem wouldn't want to be with him anymore. It was always yischazik David b'Hashem. Gam ki elu v'geitz ha'movis le'er ki'atu imodi v'yischazik David b'Hashem. That's how he lived, yischazik David b'Hashem. And all the tzaddikim live that way. And this is the deepest point that is inside in Yiddish and Neshama. And Hashem revealed this to us on the day that He took us as His kala, the Yom Chasunasai, which is Matan Torah, on Shavuos. Sheyodim Shekadosh Baruch Hu Neman L'Klai Yisrael. Hashem told us, I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to be with you all the time. I'm faithful to you. No matter what you do. Imay anoichi v'tzara. Hashem is with us no matter what is. B'saych tumasam. And no matter what tumu we fall into. That he is neman. Meaning that he's faithful to us. Even if we're unfaithful to him. He's never unfaithful to us. Lo yitayish oisam lo'adam, he's never ever going to abandon us. We have to hold on to this, and we have to bring this out. We have to tap into this belief and to strengthen our emunah in this. This is what it means to be an ish neshama. And when a person is mechazik himself with this emunah, he's able to go through whatever he has to go through in life. Everything that comes his way, he's able to deal with, he's able to manage. And Hashem helps him. And this belief that he has causes there to be a sweetening of judgment. And things are sweetened in his life. And the chasadim are revealed. The more he strengthens himself in this relationship with Ki'ati Mada Ve'ischazik God Hashem, the more chasadim he sees are revealed in his life. For this a person needs great strength. Especially now at the end of time before Mashiach comes. Shem zmanim koshim in this yonis koshim, very difficult times and difficult in this yonis. Ubam is kvar ovru zmanim koshim al klai, so we've been through many difficulties. Ukvar hoya dari let saras yisol, it's enough saras the Jews have had. Avam yukomakom ein zman poshet. But we're living in a time that's not poshet, what we're living in. Uzman shal hest upon him, there's a terrible hest upon him, we don't have any more the big tzaddikim that used to be with us that were killed in the Holocaust, and then those few that survived, they're either not here anymore. And even though Hashem hasn't abandoned us, they're always tzaddikim, but it's very, very hard to connect to and to see. It's very, very big hest upon him we're living in. Zman shel v'anoicha haster aster, it's the end of time. It's the last few moments before Mashiach comes. It's very dark. A big hest upon him. V'mischazik v'Hashem ezbach yedeya, Hashem ezbach choylech tamid imay, v'chol ha-matzovim, yiyeh eich sheyiyeh. And a person who's mischazik in Hashem, he knows that Hashem is with him and everywhere and every moment, and that is what is able to get him through whatever matzav he's in. V'yetzahar writes at Tamil Lefatis is Adam bin Yinzer. And the Yetzahar is always trying to pull us away from this truth. La'vi'oy l'day yeyush, to bring a person to despair, to give up. U'mabalbalas v'yishay she'enadav v'kain. And to confuse him, to think, well, maybe it's like that with tzaddikim, that Hashem is always with tzaddikim, but not with a person like me. This inyan of bitachim, we need constant hischazkus, not to give in to this yetzahara. And we try to mechazak ourselves, and Hashem helps more. The chasadim are revealed in our lives. The truth is that we're surrounded by Hashem's kindness, by Hashem's love. But through our emunah, through our bitachon, we could see more. We could see more chesed. We could see more of Hashem's love. Bitachon ve'emunah hem yisoides gedolim ve'ikarim bi'ahadis. Emunah bitachon are the yisoides, the foundations of all Yiddishkeit. V'Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh Ovad al zeh ma'od. And the Baal Shem Tov worked so hard on this nakuda. La'hashrish emunah bitachon b'libos b'nei Yisrael. To drive emun and bitachon deep into the hearts of Jews, to bring this out in us, emun and bitachon, simcha b'Hashem, to be happy, to live lives that are happy. When a Yid lives every second with Hashem, he lives a life that's b'simcha, emun and bitachon b'Hashem b'chol ha-matzavim. Shafilu yesh yiridus beruchnius, even though he goes through, everybody goes through yiridus in ruchnius, whatever difficulties in gashmius, uzmanim koshim gashmius, tzichim tamid l'schazik b'Hashem. Therefore, David HaMelech was the happiest person in the world. Dor Melech is called the Bar Chana de Malka, the court jester. Dor Melech was always the simcha. The whole inyan of Dor Melech was smiris, was singing and tehillim and simcha. At the same time, there was never a bigger baltsaris than what Dor Melech had tsaris and the siyonis with his own, what they had with his own family. But he had a son that was trying to kill him, that made a war against him. And Dor Melech was always veischazik David Bashem. Always veischazik David Bashem. Shamati mehaadma me'amshnev. Now let's end with this. Those are our siyonis. And we have those unique nisyanis before Mashiach comes. And Hashem is Baruch is the one who's giving us those tzaras. Correct. True. And by us being mischazik in Hashem, and by us understanding that the only way to overcome these nisyanis and to deal with the tzaras, that yes, that He is allowing into our lives. Now we make ourselves a lot of problems, but He's allowing into our lives that the whole tachlis of all of the nisyanis, the whole tachlis of all of the tzaras, the whole tachlis, is that we should know that we only have one that we could turn to, and one that we could talk to, and that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the only ischazkas that we could have. And all the nisyanis that we're going through are for this tachlis. Look what he brings right now. And this is a famous gemara. It really should be learned inside properly and said carefully every word, but it's late. Shamati ma'admar me'amshinav zatzal. He said, I heard from the amshinav rabbi. He's talking to about Rabbi Yitzchokel, the one from Borough Park. Shchus ha'gileinu. He says, I heard the deer ha'uv the Rebbe Lozerman to die. Now the gemara there in Avodah Zarah tells us the very, very strange story about this person who was doing every immoral thing with women that he could do, and he was going all over. I'm sure you know the story in the Gemara, and that he heard that there was a particular woman in some place that he gathered whatever money he was saving money for a long time to go far away to get to this woman and to do an aveira with the woman. And the Gemara tells us that the Peshas Maisa, when they were going to do the Maisa, so she, this woman, who is a low person, she gave him Musa. It's not so nice to talk about right now what it was exactly, but she gave him Musa. And the Musa that she gave him is that your whole life is basically nothing. It's basically nothing. And look at you. How she said it, it's in the Gemara then you're dying. But your life is worthless. And it hit him very, very strongly to have Musa like that from her. And it says that he went and he was crying and he begged. He said he asked the sun, the moon, go beg Hashem to have mercy on me. I'm sure you know the story. He asked the rivers, the whole world, do something. Ask Hashem. And the rivers said, we have our own problems. What do you think? And the sun, the moon said, we have our own inyanim. We have enough with you. Until finally he said, he saw Eina Davatoloi Ela B. It depends only on me. And it says that he cried. And he put his head down between his knees like a little baby, becoming like again in the mother. He put his head down and until his neshama left him. He died. And the voice came out from Shemayim, says that the Reb Elazar ben Nadai is welcomed into the world to come. Rabbeinu Kadosh, Rabbi Yudal Nasi, heard this baskal wherever he was, I don't know, in Sipari, in Yerushalayim, wherever he was, he heard this. And he said, Yesh Kone Alon B'Shachas. He says that Elazar ben Nadai acquired the world to come in one moment, in 1 hour he acquired the world to come. My whole life, you notice I'm working this, in one moment he acquired Elam Haba. And not only that, they call him Rebbe. And it wasn't Stam Rebbe like nowadays, a rabbi, you understand? He was called Rebbe. What kind of Rebbe? And in those days, we're talking about Tanoim. He was called Rebbe Elazar ben Nadai. Rebbe Elazar ben Nadai. That's the story in the Gemara without going into all the Pratim. So he brings to the Amshanah. Look, he had hit rock bottom in his life. This was the lowest moment of his life. He left his family. He gave up everything. He took all the money from his home. He did it to go to this woman of ill repute, this immoral woman, to do the biggest of ever. He hit rock bottom. He also doesn't say over the whole story. And the woman said to him, a Musa. Like that, basically, that your life is worthless. Look at who you are. Kach Elazar ben Nadai ain't a kabbalah neis of a tshuva. She said, yeah, you'll never. She said to him, they'll never take you back to do tshuva. You think you're going to do tshuva? A person like you can never do tshuva. V'chazar hakach b'tshuva shleima. The Gemara tells us he did do tshuva. V'al ze omer Rabbi Yesh kana lom v'shachas. And Rabbi said, there's a person who acquired olam haba in a moment. Look, the truth is, this Elazar ben Nadai was a very low person. A very, very base and low person. But there was one, you could say the worst stuff about Elazar ben Nadai and you'd be right. The worst stuff. But there's one thing about Elazar ben Nadai that he had. One mida toiva. He lived his whole life dreaming and wishing and hoping that one day I'm going to change. That he had. And when she told him, when the girl told him, what happened was, the maisa was that there was some air that passed out from him. He passed some air. So it wasn't nice. And she said to him, the same way that never goes back, you're also never going to go back to God. That's what she said to him. Such a void. Disgusting. So, she said to me, never do tshuva. This already, when he heard this? This already? He says, Azoy vayt? No. So what happened? She told me, so, she oid yachze b'tshuva. One thing he always dreamt, one thing he lives with his whole life, Chach, before I die, I'm going to do tshuva. I'm not going to end my life this way. And he used to always say, yeah, this is my last ma'ase I'm doing. I'm going to do tshuva. But dying in any of it, he never ever believed that he was lost. He never believed that he was totally pushed away by God, that he would not be able to come back. He never ever accepted that he was hopeless. He was able, therefore, to be mischazik through such a disgusting life that he lived. Till that last ma'aseh that he had with that woman, he was always mischazik, and he went on, and he believed in it, and until finally he was zeichet to do tshuva. He midah kadosh habam mekor kadosh ad lema'oy. This midah came from a very holy place deep inside this Jew. Umen hashamayim rotsu legalas nekuda zu shabanafshay. And it seems clear to us now that we read this story that from Shemayim, that Hashem's Baruch wanted to be megala this nakuda, that each and every one of us should know that even in such a person, that if you have at least this nakuda v'yischazek David b'Hashem, if you have this nakuda that you never lost, if you have this emunah that Hashem is with you, if you have this emunah that you could always, always do tshuva, that even if you're as low, even if you can't be lower than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter how low you are, you could do tshuva. Therefore, from Shemayim, what happened? Why did that woman all of a sudden become a Balas Musa? Who was she? First of all, that was a custom of hers. And what's she giving a Musa? Why did Hashem make such a thing come out from her mouth? That she said such a good word. She said a good word. She said what? She said a true thing. She said the same way that doesn't come back. That's nothing. Your life is not. You're never going to come back to Hashem. You're finished.
So,
yeah. Because Hashem Zbach saw, this is the time right now, and Hashem Zbach gave her that Musa to say to him. What did she say? She said for the first time, someone told him this, I guess, that you're hopeless. There's absolutely no hope for you. You're finished. Meaning that God is done with you. You spent all your money, you left your family to do such a thing like you did now. You're finished. So he heard such a thing that someone said to him, "Ain tikva, there's no hope." That unleashed inside of him that point that was always hoping, and he couldn't go on like that. The kaven shekain b'ze'achzo paga mamish ben kudish lo. So she reached into that place inside of him, that point of holiness inside of him that said, "There's always hope for a Jew." She said, "There isn't." She touched that button that says inside of a Jew that there's hope. And that's how Lozim and the Dai was living with that hope. If she would have said it over a different shmuz, she would have said, "By the way, I want to tell you something I heard from Avdesla. I want to tell you this. I heard a good vart on the parasha." It wouldn't have done it. What she said to him was exactly what Hashem put into her mouth, which is what? "There's no hope for you. Finished." Those words wasn't fancy. Finished. You're done. That's it. God is done with you. That's something that hit him. In that midah that he always was holding on to. If she would have said something else, nothing would have come from it. But since she touched upon the nekuda ha'atzmis, the essence of who he was, of what he had worked for in his life, to always hold on, to always have hope. That was one thing, with all that he did in his life, he never ever felt abandoned. He always held on. That she's already trying to take away from me. This she's trying to take away from me. That he always believed that there is hope. Then that part of him, that little toiv inside of him, that hope, came out like a lion, roaring like a lion. And he throws her away, and he starts to scream to the world, "I want to come back to Hashem, I'm finished, I'll do anything, until his goof couldn't hold his nesham, and he exploded and he died. If Rabbi Elazar ben Dedaya hadn't lived his whole life with that nekuda of hope, and the girl would even if she would have said such words, wouldn't have made a difference. Ella what? He was living with hope his whole life. The meaning of this story is not like you learn it if you just read it fast. The meaning of the Gemara is telling us the following. This Elazar ben Dedaya was a person that had a very exalted neshama. He was a big person. He was a great person. He was a great person that fell into a very, 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 very dark and deep place. Chazal tells us that the bigger the person, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. That's from Chazal. Kol si yitzor gadol mimenu, kol ha gadol mechaver yitzor gadol. The bigger the person, the bigger the yitzor. So this Rav Elazar ben Dedai is a very great person. Neshama gevoya kadosha. Vayiroi shi yikar b'shem Rav Elazar ben Dedai. Really? From the time that he was a young person, he had the karchus to be what? Rabbi Eliezer ben Dedai. That's the person he really was. Oh, you got off a blunge into disgusting aveiros and he got lost. But one thing he always held on to was that Hashem is Baruch will take me back. He'll take me back. The next page. Let's just finish. I'm going to come back to Hashem. You'll see that I'm going to be better. As I came to know, when that woman touched upon that nekuda of who he really was, which is what a tikva, hope, and she said no hope. And she was saying, there is no tachlis, you'll never do tshuva. Then the koyach of kedusha, all of Rebbe Elazar ben Dedai, all that Rebbe that he was supposed to be from the time that he was a little boy that got messed up, all of that Rebbe came out inside of him in a moment. Rebbe Eliezer ben Dedai. He was always a Rebbe Eliezer ben Dedai, but he was a Rebbe Eliezer ben Dedai in Golis. He was a Rebbe Eliezer ben Dedai in Golis. There's a person I remember years ago that he was showing me a letter that he had from the Lubavitcher Rebbe School of London. It said from the Lubavitcher, he wrote him a letter and he said to him, he wrote the letter, Harav Achosid Hayoka, the precious Chassidish Yid. He wrote him, it's a beautiful thing. And he was showing off to me that this is a ma'aser from almost 40 years ago. He showed me this letter that Lubavitcher wrote to him such a thing. Now I know for myself this person was very, very, very much not a chassid hayokan. We just knew in the neighborhood what kind of a person he was. And it bothered me, like, you know, a little bit, like a chassid hayokan, like such titles that Lubavitcher sent him in a letter like this. Until I saw afterwards in a letter somewhere from Lubavitcher Rebbe years later, that the person was asking him, why did you call me such beautiful things when the Rebbe knows that I'm far, far, far from these things? So Lubavitcher Rebbe went back to that person, a different person. Lubavitcher Rebbe went back to that person. When I said this to you, when I write this to you, it's because I know that's who you really are. I know that's who you really are. You don't know that about yourself, but I knew you and I know you. And that's who you can be. I'm not telling you that's who you are right now, that you're acting as hachosid hayokah, this and that, but I know that's the person that I know. Bam is who you really are, and you have to go to that place inside of you. And if when you come to a tzaddik, when you come to a person who loves Yidden, who sees the neshama, a tzaddik is nish neshama, so when the tzaddik looks at you, he looks at you with the eyes of the neshama, and it brings out, you want to become better when you go with a tzaddik. When you're next to a tzaddik, you want to become better. Because why? Because you know that because he sees you in the neshama. He knows you did this and you did that, but he sees who you are, the bamis of the neshama. And because of that, it brings out in you this feeling that I want to be better. I want to be better. Because when you're next to that tzaddik, you know that he's in that place of the neshama, and in your place of the neshama, you're that person that the tzaddik sees. Just another 5 minutes. Yesh nekuda kadosh in his government nefesh ha'adam. There's a wondrous nekuda, a very holy thing that's inside of a person. That a yid can hold on to Hashem no matter what he goes through in life. Never ever to feel that you're lost, that you have no hope. That's what we learn from Elazar ben Dedai. And we go through many nisyanis that are trying to take that away from us, that feeling, that certainty. It comes with all kinds of demyonis. She yitzar writes to the fatis b'emes adam v'mefateyu sheyachshev sheyeshnu mechshayv l'shebemes lo enichshev. A lot of times the yitzar comes and tells you things that all kinds of horrible things about yourself. It's not even true. Mela, by revelation of the day, it was true. He did horrible things. But I've met many times in my life people that describe themselves as being so evil and so wicked, and everybody else knows that they're wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful people. The way they talk about themselves, and they think that they were shy, and the Yitzhar comes to tell a person such that the person should have such thoughts that he thinks that everything is lost, everything is fallen. So it could be that he was nichshel in something. So let's say he was nichshel in something. Let's say he messed up something. But the Yetzer comes and makes this into a big, big, big inyan. Okay, he was nichshel. But the Yetzer comes also by the Baal Shem, they were very, very careful with this. The Talmid Baal Shem said that the biggest nisan of a person is not when he does the aver, it's after the aver. Because after you do the aver, then the Yetzer comes and says that this is the biggest aver, nobody ever did an aver like this, and you're finished. When the truth is that after you do an aver, if you want to feel like nothing before you do the aver. Then maybe you won't do the aver. But after you do the aver, then you should be mischazik b'shem. I have the same Rebbe Yishlom that I had before I did the aver I have now. The same Rebbe Yishlom. He loves me, he's the same. I have to fix this. I have to take care of this. But the Yetzer comes and says, oh, this is such an aver. What you had such a mishal. I can't tell how many stories I had with people that came to me, students, kids, when I was teaching. They would come tell me, Rabbi, I did this, I did the most horrible thing. I said, what did you do? What? And then once, it's the most horrible thing. And they would tell me something. It was totally unimpressive. I was not impressed at all. I said, that's so horrible. Nah, that's b'chlal, I'm not impressed at all. I don't want to say you could do better than that. But I wasn't impressed at all. Muskefeller. That wasn't so terrible? No. Yeah, don't do it again. But the way not to do it again is not by thinking that the Baruch Shalom has thrown you into the garbage. That's not how to prevent yourself from doing it again. Hayu maglos adav, the Yetzer makes it very big. V'hu mamish pilei ploy masherem ad kamashchich hayoyim ha'atzvus v'amarashchim. He says, now we see in our times now, these were shmuzni he gave last year. Tavshin Ayin. That shmuz last year. That we see in our times, Atzvus, the sadness, the marashchor, the depression. He said, we never saw such sadness and depression. And people had much harder lives, but we never saw such sadness and depression. Half the oil was taking Prozac and other stuff. Depressed, sad people. Because we see that in the past, if a Jew went off the derech, in the past it used to be that a person went off the derech because they were big bal taiva, and they had a taiva for something. They went off the path of Yiddishkeit because Yiddishkeit said you can't do this, and they wanted to do it, so they went off Yiddishkeit. When they deus kaisers, or people got all mixed up in all kinds of wrong philosophies and ideologies. That's how it used to be in the old days when Jews went off the derech. Nowadays it's not ideology, they're not philosophers nowadays. The taivas is a little different now than they were then. Ella what? Yilahayoyim kemat roiv ha-bochrim shemiskalkal m'sarman ha-derech. He says, most of the bochrim, he says, that he sees going off the derech, hurak machmes atzus v'yesh. It's because of sadness and despair. They've given up hope of doing tshuva. They've given up hope. They did whatever they did, and they gave up hope in Hashem. They gave up hope in Yiddishkeit. They gave up hope of working things out with their parents. They gave up hope of working things out with their wife, whatever, an abacha, but a married man, working out with his wife, whatever it is. Yeyush, sadness, depression, despair. Sha'al yedeshan leifim leyush la'atzvus, when you fall into sadness and into depression, ha'yizem ma'pil oysim agami, that then you're finished. It knocks you off completely. Therefore, we have to machazik ourselves to know that inside each and every one of us, there's that nekud of kiloyitosh Hashem es amad, that Hashem doesn't leave you. Hashem is with you. Hashem understands you. Hashem is not going to leave you like this, abandon you. Hashem never abandons us. Sure, there are tzaris. Yeah, in the Sinai. But Hashem never, ever abandons us. And if you try to purify yourself, Messiah, Hashem will help you. Then will show you that He was with you all the time. He brought you the Nisayin, He brought you the difficulty, and He brought you out of that difficulty. Therefore, when it comes to Shavuos, as He said, this Shavuos and Shavuos, Shavuos Yerid had the Chusa Hilar. Then that tahara, that pureness comes down from above. Ha tahara el yoinim in Hashemayim. Tzarech lavayit al zeh. Shachay nekabel eze shaychis lezeh. That we have some shaychis to becoming anshei neshama. People of neshama, people of pnimiyas. Liyas anoshim nalim umirumamim. People who are higher, people who are elevated people. Tzarech oid laharech v'adiba binyan zeh. There's much more to talk about. And as much as we talk about this, it's not enough. That this is the ikka nekuda now that we have to work on becoming anshei neshama. The main nisayin of our generation, I've spoken about this over the years, the main nisayin is shitchias, is shallowness, is superficiality, it's emptiness, it's meaninglessness. It's not It's not all the taivas. It's not the internet. It's not the, all that. That's why people look at the internet so much. That's why they go into all those taivas. That's not the nisoyin of our generation. The nisoyin of our generation is shallowness, emptiness, a feeling of meaninglessness, which brings to sadness and despair. That's the nisoyin of our generation. People, therefore, are lost, and they feel empty, and it's profound, so then they run to all these demyonis with the machines. That's not the nisoyin. And I'm sorry to say, if you hear these talks over and over from teachers, from rabbis, please forgive me, Hashem should forgive me. It's not it. It's simply not it. Don't trust me. Talk to tzaddikim who are living in a world of pnimi. It's not the speech writers and the speech makers. It's not it. It's not it. The it of our generation is shitchius, emptiness and shallowness. That's what it is. A feeling of being lost, a feeling of despair. Not the internet. The internet is a symptom of the problem. It's not the problem. And if we don't address the problem, then we could chase after these machines from behind this morning, and we're not going to be able to keep up with them. They're always ahead of us. It's not the machines. It's every day. It's not the... I was at a chasna last night. There was an old Jew sitting next to me. He looked like he was 80 years old. And he was also playing the whole time, looking at pictures. I don't know. I never saw such a thing. You move your fingers and the picture moves. I was sitting next to him. I never saw such a thing. He makes like this with his hand. And the picture became big. And then he went like that. And the picture became little. And he's showing two alta yidna sitting there playing with the machine. And I felt so bad. I said, it's a shame. You should look to 120. This is how you're going to... This is the end. This is the finale. Like, this is the grand finale. Sitting like the children. All the bachim are sitting there. They're also like this. During the chuppah. Like this the whole time. Like this. First it was this. Now I see they're going like this. Making bigger, smaller, moving pictures like that. And the chasna kala standing there. And they're making the hakafas. And he's playing like this, like that. It's not them. The machines, they're new machines. Every day is a new toy. That's not it. That's not the nisoyin. The nisoyin that we have to work on is Vayischazek David Basham. Pnimius. Give that over to your children by bringing that yourself. That's the way you give it over to your children. And if the children have it, and you give it to the children, and we daven that should be able to go from generation to generation. Listen, we're all very worried about it. There's no question we're very, very worried about it. They're brought up a little. They're very comfortable with these. I don't know where, I'm just as worried as you are. I don't know where all this is going to go. And we talk about this all the time. And we just, I don't know, Mashiach should come. I don't know where it's all going to go. But I do know, I believe with all of my heart, that if a person gives over to the children and pnimius, and the pnimius is on fire, and it's like that with the children, of course something can happen. They can meet up with this person or that person. There's always things we don't. But they have the ammunition. They have a rich inner life. A person who has a rich inner life, they might go off the derech for a little bit. They might do some of theirs. They might go look into this and look that. But they come back. If there's a rich inner life, but if it's an empty life, then it's very, very, they have nothing to come back to. What did Yiddishkeit mean to them? Here, they're talking, the Irishkeit, what does it mean to them? What's their Yiddishkeit? It doesn't have, you scratch it like this. Yeah, you scratch like this, it comes and it's finished. It's not new.